It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go. We are off and running with a brand new program for the third day of April 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that, of course, is where you go. Well, no, not HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. That's down. That got the bejesus hacked out of it. HeadOn.live is where you go if you'd like to pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump into the chat room. Which add-on chat will not seem to, is not, seems unwilling to add a certificate for. Yeah, oh well. At any rate, just create an exception for the chat room. All is well. We're hanging out in there. It's fine. There's no viruses flying around or anything like that. Just pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be met by the likes of Anatolius and D.T. Blom, and moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave on what I presume is to be must be a lovely Northern California afternoon. Okie doke. Yeah, that's how you do it. HeadOn.live. Also at HeadOn.live, of course, you will find the PayPal button. That is how we keep this program funded and on the air. There are no ads here. Okay, maybe one. No, we don't have any Buy Gold Nows or mattresses named after Lisa or anything. No, we don't. We don't have any of that. It's just an attempt to create a conversational space in which people of goodwill can cuss and discuss and carry on without being overrun by a bunch of white-winged trolls. And so that's how we keep it all going here. Thanks go out. Thanks go out at the beginning of every program to the partial sponsors of said program. We have six partial sponsors on this day. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly indeed to Renee in D.C. Thank you, Renee. And thank you very kindly to Stephen in California. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you to partial sponsor of the program, Janice in Wisconsin. Thank you, Janice. Thank you very, very much to John, also a partial sponsor of the program in Talibandiana. And thank you very kindly in the far frozen, well, probably kind of thawed out and squishy, north. Thank you, Ron. And thank you very kindly to Jean and Anne over on the Scepterid Isle. Thank you very kindly indeed. Those are our subscribers for this day. If you would like to join them and be part of the merry band of subscribers on the 3rd of April, just go to the PayPal button at HeadOn.live. There's a little box you click there. That's all you have to do. You put 10 bucks in, you click the box, and you're a subscriber for this day of the month, okay? If you would like to become a subscriber, and thank you very kindly to the Nubian, who jumped in and became a subscriber over at the Patreon campaign to the tune of a dollar. Thank you very, very much. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/Bob Kincaid or click the handy dandy link at headon.live, and it'll carry you. It'll carry you right there. And if you hate PayPal, you know you're not participating in PayPal with the Patreon campaign, and that comes out on the first of the month, so you won't even hear about that until the bursting forth of the darling buds of May, because we're past the April thing for Patreon. Also, thanks very kindly to Colin, and thank you very kindly to Chris in Germany for knocking down the remainder before airtime this evening, for knocking down the remainder of Shirley's Memorial Challenge. That means that challenge was met. That means we met yesterday's fundraising goal and today's fundraising goal. Again, program note, I will be away from the microphone next week. April the, I don't keep a calendar in my head. I probably should. It'll be nice when we get the little plugs in our necks. But anyway, I will be away the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th of next week working in D.C. On issues related to the ongoing Appalachian apocalypse, mountaintop removal, and the poisoning of an entire region, you know, for profit. So 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. So we've got to do all the fundraising for that this week. So the fundraising goal this evening is $400 as opposed to the usual $200. So that I can get the bills paid before I go away and not, just walk around the streets of D.C. half freaked out and wondering if, you know, lights are still going to be on when I get back. Okay, so we got $400 to go. 10 at 40, 40 at 10, 1 at 400, 2 at 200, 4 at 100, 8 at 50, 16 at 25, 32 at 12 and a quarter, 64 at 6 and a quarter. Or $128 at $3.13, and we'll roll up that half penny, and we will put it into Agnes's yoga studio fund. Okay, here at the mansion, yes. So thank you very much indeed for your support of the program, making sure that independent, non-commercial radio can go forward. It's been kind of cloudy here in Mount Colby gone today, but it's also been relatively comfortable. In fact, now that it's time to get on the air, it's downright sunny outside and a blissful 71 degrees here. We get clouds, we get sun for the remainder of the week, but hey, that little snowflake icon shows up in the weather for both Saturday and Monday. Yay! Well, it's, what do you want? It's April in Appalachia. You're going to have that. Yeah, you've got me by about, I guess you've got me by about 6 degrees, Sparky. It's beautiful and 77 out in the folded space of Northern California where, you know, nobody's shooting at Sparky. And Sparky's happy about that, I have no doubt. But, because that's probably the lead story here in a second, yeah. But with spring comes the rising of the blood and the urge to get out and do and be active and busy, and you want a little help for something like that, and that's why I'd like to tell you about something that the hardworking peripatetic periodontic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter came rushing in to tell me about this morning. That's right, I'm talking about Scandent Scuppernong. Yes, Scandent Scuppernong, only from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, will have you running around and scrambling and leaping for joy, like a spider monkey on Red Bull. Yes, absolutely, Scandent Scuppernong. You know, a scuppernong is a sort of a wild kind of grape, and if you've ever experienced the positive effects of grape seed extract, wait till you get hold of a 90-day supply of Scandent Scuppernong, only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Scandent Scuppernong is, of course, a proprietary blend of dehydrated, rehydrated, monohydrated, hydrogenated, pain-free, cruelty-free, GMO-free, soy-free, gluten-free, and, yes, scuppernong-free discovered our goodness, packed into little tiny capsules, free range, made from happy little scuppernongs. And we load them into capsules, and we send them to you when you, in a fit of tremendous credulity, send us $215.31 for a 90-day supply. They grow on vines in the woods, and they're kind of hard to harvest. That's why the price is so high, doggone it. But, yes, Scandant Scuppernong will have you joyfully gambling about like a lamb in spring, except for the part of the bad things that happen to the lamb after it's done gambling. Yes. Scandant Scuppernong only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Accept no substitutes, no siree. Demand Scandant Scuppernong, and with your 90-day supply, we will, of course, send you a little packet of credulity strips. Screw a bunch of beets. You haven't lived until you've had Scandant Scuppernong only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Yes, as I said, accept no substitutes, post no bills, use no hooks, this side up, that side down. FOBCOD SCUPPERNONG. Scandant Scuppernongs only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Yes. You'll be glad you didn't. Operators are not standing by. This is not a free call. And your mileage may vary. Scandant Scuppernong only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. So there we go. By the way, I had a note from Colin earlier saying thanks for doing double duty this week. A reminder, this program, as will be the program tomorrow and the program on Thursday, is only 2 hours, not the usual three, because at 8 p.m. I will shut down and throw all the third switches back into neutral position and realign the switches so that at 9 p.m. I can throw the third switch properly and send this program up to Progressive Voices. And, not this program, but send a program up to Progressive Voices as I'm filling in for Mike and Kathy in their vacationing absence this week, Mike and Kathy Malloy, the Malloy program over only on Progressive Voices. A reminder, if you want to listen to the program, please listen to it on Progressive Voices so that they can see your dedication and your determination, and they can feel very, very good about all the people that the program is reaching. Okay, so so we'll knock off at about 8 o'clock. If you've got something on your mind to talk about, let's make sure and get that in after the 8 p.m. or after the 7 p.m. hour, and because it's really frustrating when there's a whole flurry of calls at like 12 minutes before the end of the program because you finally remembered what it was you meant. No. And of course, I can say that I'm very, very happy today. Well, not very happy. Are you kidding? I would be gambling naked in the yard if the Mountaineers had won the NCAA playoff, won the NCAA tournament. They didn't, but they do have the distinction of being able to say that they probably gave Villanova a bigger, better run for their money than any other team in the tournament. Until the referees decided to start playing in the game too. So the Mountaineers got nothing to hang their head over after this year's big dance. And congratulations to the Villanova Wildcats, national champions of the NCAA tournament, 2 years out of three, out of the past three. And it couldn't have the loss could not have come to a finer coach than John Beilein at Michigan, who demonstrated all the loyalty of a member of the Benedict Arnold family when, having been given his first big chance in the spotlight by being hired as the basketball coach at West Virginia University, he bailed off and ran off to Ann Arbor at the first sign of money being dangled in front of his nose. Yeah, ran up there with Rich and Big Hair Rita. Beilein lasted, Rich and Big Hair didn't. So that's all. But no, they eventually. Good God. What's his name? DiVincenzo for the Villanova? He was a machine last night. And just sat there and bombed threes. And the next thing you know, it was 79-62 and the game was over. Hey, thanks very kindly to Anatole for getting us started this evening. Thank you very kindly indeed. That is a right smart big deal in getting us started. So now we've got $380 to go in fundraising to move us toward the end of the week. subject line, cease and desist, coming from Scott and Punky. It's only 67 degrees here in San Diego. Stop infringing on our San Diego weather gimmick, Bob.
Quit telling people how to enjoy weather, Bob.
But, no, what I said a few minutes ago is true. The lead story kind of has to be what's happening out in the Bay Area, or just happened out in the Bay Area. Law enforcement sources have confirmed that a number of people have been transported to area hospitals because of an active shooter at a YouTube building somewhere around Cherry Avenue and Bay Hill Drive in San Bruno. One witness said that as he was sitting at Carl's Jr., he heard two or three shots and then another 10 more. And they were over at the end of the YouTube building where there are patio tables with umbrellas and stuff, you know, like a lunch area or some such. Mm-hmm. Several people were transported with injuries. No reports of death save for the shooter. Law enforcement announcing that the shooter has expired due to a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Yep, somehow or another, no good guys with guns were able to stop all that. None whatsoever. And the shooter is being identified. Is being identified as a female, which makes this a little bit of an odd situation, because most usually it is a white male who does this sort of thing. Go figure. Now, the fact that there just aren't a whole heck of a lot of details about this shooting does not necessarily mean that it doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't some really top shelf speculating available for the doing. Oh no. Out in California, the man often referred to as Russia's favorite member of Congress, creepy old white dude by the name of Dana Rohrabacher. Well, the echoes of the gunfire had hardly ceased bouncing around the area there in San Bruno when Dana Rohrabacher popped up like a groundhog on Groundhog Day over on the Fox Business Network Radio Rwanda channel. And nobody had, local law enforcement authorities hadn't provided any details at all to Dana Rohrabacher, to me, to you, to sweet little fake baby Jesus. Nobody had any details about the shooter. This, however, did not deter Dana Rohrabacher from waving the bloody shirt.
We have with us Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. He's from California, from the southern part of the state. We had the congressman on to talk about another issue, but Congressman, I'm afraid...
Yes, we've got Dana Rohrabacher on, who is from nowhere near where the shooting took place, isn't anywhere near where the shooting took place, knows next to nothing about where the shooting took place or why the shooting took place or who did the shooting. Dana Rohrabacher doesn't know shit, but that never slows us down at any network owned by Fox. Go ahead.
If you don't mind, we'd like to steer you to this issue of your fellow Californians are going through right now. Again, this is one of those areas where people thought we'd never have to deal with a situation like this.
Well, you were going to discuss with me sanctuary cities,
right,
and the sanctuary state movement, and it fits right into what you're talking about right now. Would anyone be surprised? We have a state government in California that's trying to prevent our law enforcement people from working with the federal law enforcement people to get to gather the criminal illegal aliens, to deal with criminal illegal aliens.
Nah, you're a lying sack of shit there, Dana. What's actually going on is that state government in California is refusing to participate with the ICE creeps, among others, in pursuing a hateful racist vendetta being perpetrated and perpetuated by the Trump regime. This has nothing to do about criminal illegal alien. This has to do with a fascistic roundup of people who haven't made any trouble whatsoever. But, you know, saying something like that on any channel run by Fox, that's not going to play well with Emery and Marvelline sitting there shivering like dog-shitting peach pits in their Barca loungers back in Busted Knuckle, Alabama, or Buck Snort, Tennessee, or where the ever. No, there has to be something terrifying about it because, well, when you get right down to it, Fox is kind of a terrorist organization. They make their bones out of making sure that really, really old people stay really, really scared and along the way trying to sell them useless crap that probably doesn't work and no one needs. Marty writing in, and Marty on this topic has as every bit as much relevance as, or more probably, than Dana Rohrabacher. At first glance, the situation appears to be a reverse Laura Black, Richard Farley situation. That was the one where Farley was the shooter. As you've reported already, the shooter's a woman. Speculation, additionally, is that she might be a Trump supporter. Well, you know, if Dana Rohrabacher can speculate with no evidence whatsoever that the shooter was an illegal sanctuary alien, then over here on our side, we're free to speculate if we wish that it was actually some gunned-up maggot who was out there trying to make America great again by shooting up the YouTube. I mean, sauce for the goose is sauce for the maggot, right? Yeah, back to Dana.
Would anyone right now, when listening to you, think, well, this certainly wouldn't be an illegal immigrant there? Well, it could be. Everybody knows that could be. We should be, at the very least, controlling our borders and making a sanctuary city my foot. We should be making sure we emphasize that any illegal in this state should be sent back, whether he's a criminal or not, but especially
if they're a little kid, because that's kind of what came out over the weekend.
Criminals.
But, you know,
so
Congressman,
no,
you bring up an you bring up an excellent point, which is that right now we have a situation where there are incidences like this happening all over. In fact, let's just listen.
Yeah. You bring up an interesting point because there are incidents like this happening all over that are not being perpetrated by undocumented aliens, undocumented immigrants. I really don't like that alien word, because I don't think there are any aliens on planet Earth, at least not that have revealed themselves, especially not the multi-limbed, amorphous, sort of bioluminescent aliens from Norblap 9. No, alien is a Latinate word. It has a specific meaning. And, you know, just, well, you get the idea. Meanwhile, Ron, in the kind of rainy and squishy north, says, I'm not an expert on the subject, but if Trump tries to deploy active military other than the local National Guard to the border, would that not violate the Posse Comitatus Act? Would this be one of those unlawful orders that military commanders could refuse to obey? And that sort of moves us toward the second subject this evening. Because until there's more detail in on the shooting in California, in San Bruno, there's not a lot more to say except for, well, it's another victory for the NRA. That's some more of that natural manure watering the tree of liberty. That's not me. That's them. That's how they talk of it. The tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of code writers for Google and tyrants. It's natural manure. Thank you. Thomas Jefferson, eloquent slave owner and slave raper. You too, Sally Hemings. Mm-hmm. In point of fact, I had a note from Terrace, also out in California, just before airtime. Subject line: U barrel. Maybe YouTube today has a different opinion on all the pro-gun channels they broadcast. It's early on, but the Second Amendment, Terrace says, will be repealed. The killings will never stop until guns are banned. Sorry, Devin, says Terrace. I still see that being way far out in the future. I mean, helium-filled pants and jetpacks, you know, that far out in the future. Because we don't seem to be anywhere near them now. Look, everything turns on what happens in November of 2018. It's election day this Tuesday. This Tuesday is election day up in Wisconsin. And people there have an opportunity to go up and turn out a whole bunch of damn Republicans from their state legislature and maybe take affirmative steps. Well, I mean, not today because it's primary day, but set up that great getting up morning come November of this year when we can correct a lot of things in this country. But it's primary day. It is. It's primary day in Wisconsin. So, you know, good luck. If you're in Wisconsin, I hope you got out and voted today or will shortly because, central time running out. Yeah, right. Get to the polls, Wisconsin. But Terrace highlights a reality, and that is that there is a lot of vile pro-gun crap on YouTube. I mean, among other things, the National Rifle Association posts all of their diatribes by the likes of Dana Lush and Coleon Noir over there, and when Wayne the Peter loses his mind in front of a camera and starts babbling about dangerous places and bad guys and good guys with rocket launchers and precious bodily fluids. When he does that shit, he does it and they post it on YouTube. Now, again, and this is, maybe this makes me a Maoist or something. Who knows? But YouTube is not the government of the United States. YouTube has the right, and they do exercise it, to determine who and what will place content on their archive of video materials. They do it all the time. They do it over digital rights to, say, music and stuff. They do it, I mean, they've got algorithms trained to do it. The question is, why, and this is a serious question for serious discussion. What is it about guns that makes them some sort of protected class or protected topic? How is it that if I want to, let's just do an experiment here. And so we'll go to qbe.com. Okay, and we will let's just go for something fairly generic. Best AR, and of course it immediately fills in the rest of it. Best AR-15. Top three best first AR-15 rifles. My top five AR-15 rifle recommendations. Best all-around AR-15 build ever. How to buy the best AR-15. Best AR-15 for the money, under $450. Five of the best AR-15 rifles for 2017. Best AR-15 build in the world. AR-15 beginner's guide. Oh, good. Well, so easy even a toddler can use it. AR-15 Buyer's Guide, the best beginner's AR-15 for the money. You know, they're little small AR-15s, so they can be handled by a 7-year-old. No. AR-15 Beginner's Guide, mid-top, ultra-top-tier ARs. Colt LE6920M4 Carbine Review, the best AR-15 under $1,000. It goes on and on. Top five budget AR-15s. The Colt LE6920M4 versus Smith & Wesson M&P 15 Sport II, which is the best AR-15. $3,000 AR-15 versus $1,000 AR-15. Lightweight carbines compared. Does it even tell? Yeah, about 21,800,000 results for best AR-15. On the other hand, best staying with the theme of best, I said, best German Pilsner. Okay? Now remember, 21,800,000 responses for best AR-15. Best German Pilsner? About 4,760 results. Kind of, is that like, you know, a little bit of a clue? I mean, are my search parameters too narrow here? All right, by God. Let's go with best German beer. Ah, that's more like it. About 2,350,000 results. But we've still got a lot more by a factor of about 10. A lot more enthusiastic reviews about King AR-15s than we do German beers. Okay, hold on. Best. Nah. So, best German firearms. About 127,000 results. Yeah, top 10 Nazi Germany weapons pops up first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Terrace opens the door on a serious inquiry. And that is whether or not, look, if you're of a certain age, you might actually remember when cigarettes were advertised on television. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then cigarettes pretty much disappeared from television. I mean, you might see somebody who smoked once in a while, but there was no direct and deliberate product placement. Well, it is a new and a new and frightening digital world. And the question remains why firearms are treated like any other product. Because the way we're talking about the firearms debate in this country is not ban the damn guns. Nobody's out there hollering that. The NRA won that fight a long time ago. We're talking about maybe making it a little harder for, you know, disaffected 19-year-olds to get their hands on AR-15s. Or any firearm, for that matter. That's what we're talking about now. So the question, though, becomes one of why. Yeah, and that what I just mentioned, we discussed that under the rubric of common sense gun law reform. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe some common sense firearm reform, absent even the law, would be to say, no more gun porn on YouTube, because that's what this stuff is. I mean, I could have started clicking videos, and you could have heard any number of red-blooded American white men talking rhapsodically about the rate of fire one of these here ME920XL421P Omaha AR-15. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, it's okay to ask why. There's only one reason that YouTube and Google, who owns YouTube, there's only one reason that they allow those videos up. They generate revenue for Google/YouTube. They're not doing a public service. They're not proudly supporting the Second Amendment and well-regulated militias all over Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on Earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. No. Those videos, all 21 freaking million of them, are up there because it helps make money for Google. And toward that end, it is only fair to say that Google is participating in the corpuscular blood economy of firearms in America. Blood trails are blood trails. And Google, by allowing the NRA to put its filth online, well, Google becomes an operating business partner of the NRA by permitting its stuff up there. And you know what? There really aren't a lot of topics like firearms that you can compare to in terms of stuff you can find on. I mean, okay, I guess you could. You could really drink a whole lot of very good German Pilsner and then get in a car like a dumbass and go hurt somebody with your car or kill yourself or something. But that is not the purpose of German Pilsner. The purpose of an AR-15 is to be able to is to be a weapon capable of performing in war or war-like situations. And this is, you know, this is kind of the beautiful thing. The National Rifle Association could sue Google till hell froze over and the devil wore fucking ice skates. And they would never be able to compel Google to run not one fucking byte or bit of NRA propaganda. Now, no one's saying that the National Rifle Association shouldn't have free speech. What I'm saying is they don't have a right to do it anywhere they want to, anytime they want to, anyhow they want to. Any more than I have a right to say, you know, like maybe 2 days ago, march into the local gospel sharp and Baptist tabernacle and herpetological sanctuary and just yell at everybody, "Hey, you know this is all bullshit, right? You know it's fake. You know none of it happened, right? You're all being had. You're a bunch of schmucks. You're being conned. It ain't real." I don't have a right to do that. I wouldn't assert a right to do that. People have an absolute right to worship whatever invisible friend they have in absolute peace and tranquility. And I don't have that right, and the NRA doesn't have that right relative to YouTube. So the question is, when is YouTube going to start treating firearms like the deadly serious issue and topic that it is? You know, this is not the same thing as a couple of guys sitting there talking about the relative merits of the small block versus the big block V8. Because the instant you start talking about things like semi-automatic rifles, you're talking about the ability to kill other people. It really is that simple. So, we got... Aha, well, okay, have you done that, Ron? Did you take one for the team? Ron says, compare the numbers for best AR-15 versus best sexual aids. Lots more people thinking about guns than about sex. Ah, you did take one for the team. You did check it out. Okay. Look, when there are more, bear in mind, you can't go to YouTube and find a video of two people engaged in frank and unhidden coitus, but you can watch a fully clothed, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, ammo-sexual blazing away with his AR-15 and thinking about the stopping power and the penetrative force of the bullets and the muzzle velocity, and then thinking about the penetrating some more. So, I don't know. Free speech is admittedly a messy thing. But it's not rocket science. And we already have a body of law that suggests that you can't talk about just anything, anytime, anywhere. And maybe it's time we stop talking about firearms as if they're something ordinary, something normal, something everyday, something garden variety, something common. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them in this country. But that doesn't mean that it's right or it's good. Let the NRA publish its American Rifleman magazine or American School Shooter or whatever the name of their magazine is. Guns, guns, guns. Fine. But the question is, to what extent do companies in this country have to participate in that exchange? Yeah, meanwhile, note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, I'm sure you've heard the piece of propaganda that Sinclair Broadcasting put out telling us about how they're giving us the best, most balanced, truthful news there is to give us. Tooting their own horn, methinks. Herr Goebbels couldn't have done a better job. P.S., you should have heard the Remington reps on the local NPR affiliate today whining about the company going into bankruptcy. How the hell did this company go into $1 billion into debt? Well, they were purchased by a predatory hedge fund, and then they got way, as the Tony folks like to say, they got way out over their skis during the eight heady years of the Obama administration and the anticipation that they were going to be able to squeal, "Liberals is going to get your guns." For another 8 years with, the devil in the White House. And then it all kind of went pear-shaped when Geezer Disgustus managed to slime his way into the Oval Office. And everybody felt safe and secure with their guns. And gun sales went through the floor, you know, until we had another mass shooting, and then gun sales shot back up. Again, as I noted the other night, well, the money donated to the National Ruble, I mean Rifle Association, went through the roof in the immediate aftermath of the massacre at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. NRA contributions, it went stratospheric. Because there's a certain segment of the population in this country that when 17 school children have been massacred and chopped to pieces by semi-automatic weapons fire, well, their first thought is not for the grieving families, but instead it's to write a check to the National Rifle Association in sympathy for the anguish that people like Dana Lush and Coleon Noir will endure, because people might say mean things about firearms. Yep. A terrorist, meanwhile, says, I call bullshit on common sense gun law reform. There's no such thing. Well, it doesn't appear that there's any. It's as hard to find as that one big ass woodpecker in the Arkansas swamps was. You hear about it, but you almost damn near never see them. Meanwhile, Silent R. Lamar says, howdy, Mr. Bob, I'll keep it short. Your rights and freedoms stop at the end of your nose. Some people must learn this the hard way. And Brother Deacon Asa points out, do pro-abortion people get to put videos of abortions being performed up on YouTube? I don't think so. They'd get banned in an instant. But gun humpers seem to be able to post their gun porn on YouTube without any issue whatsoever. Yeah. And attempts to, as Tara shares with me, attempts to put forward those common sense gun laws those laws are no sooner passed and signed into law than the gun humpers get busy trying to make sure that they don't work. Wait a minute, that's cowbell worthy. Hold on. Silent R. Lamar says, is there a way to start a rumor that there are zombies on an island and get the gun nuts to leave? Well, that's a great idea if the gun nuts were actually brave. But for the most part, they're chicken shits. And so they would happily wait for President Sleazius Maximus to send the military to do that job. And they'd sit home and lovingly rub the barrel of their blue steel penis extensions and talk about how when the day comes when the government put its jackbooted jackboots down on their freedom-loving necks next to their tattoos that say only God can judge me, that by God, then they'll be ready because they got them some guns. No, we're going to have to find a planetary answer. Although, I don't know. What would you, if we could say terraform Mars, and Mars would be free of firearms and livable with a breathable oxygen atmosphere and all that stuff, would you go to Mars to get away from the Republicans and the goddamn gun humpers and leave them to just shoot the shit out of this place and drill it and frack it and blast it and gouge it? In hopes of building a better society out on Mars? Yeah, well, that's kind of where I was headed. Cheryl with a note says, over on YouTube, you can't show woman's body parts. That's how the gun nuts get away with it. They only show cleavage and legs, which is acceptable. So in other words, we'd have to have a woman with full frontal nudity holding a firearm, and then it would be the nudity that got banned, not the firearm. Man, have we got some screwed up priorities in this country. Yeah. Vermont, has a new gun law. The gun humpers are already saying, terrorists sent this along. Dateline, April 3rd, 2018. New Vermont gun law won't work, gun advocates say as they try to undermine it. Subhead, firearms enthusiasts. Really? That's what we're calling them? Half-mad gun maniacs. Protested a new restriction on high-capacity magazines by giving away 1,200 of the soon-to-be-banned devices, you motherfuckers. How about that? Because realistically, I mean, if you take the issue apart bit by bit, it's the fact that you can have 100 rounds of ammunition in a single magazine in a firearm and just swap them out and keep shooting. That's part of what makes them so gosh darned effective at slaughtering children inside schools. And so Vermont said, you know, we really don't need a bunch of those. Because the Vermont legislature passed several gun laws, and one of them was universal background checks for all firearm purchases, raising the minimum gun purchase age to 21, banning the sale of bump stocks and high-capacity ammunition magazines. Well, that's true, Silent R. Lamar pointing out. Well, they're just reducing the inventory, Bob. Yeah. The gun rights crowd, for some reason or another, got particularly bent out of shape about the magazine restriction. Now, why some devoted white-tailed deer hunter or moose hunter in Vermont needs 100 rounds of AR-15 ammunition to take down, a deer 1 week a year or something like that? I honestly don't know, but it has nothing to do with deer. I do know. It has to do with their paranoid fantasies. That one of these days they're going to get shoot back against the government. Anyway, feed them! Wolverines! Yeah. Yeah. But one of these days, just one of these days, so, yes, indeed. Robert Spitzer, who's a professor at SUNY Cortland, State University of New York, Cortland, has written 5 books on gun policy. And he said, it's a classic case of gun rights hypocrisy. They're publicly doing everything they can to undermine the law. Chris Bradley is a member of the Vermont Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. He declared the magazine ban to be unenforceable. And that by that, he meant that, they were going to... that he had a friend who was going to give away 1,200 high-capacity magazines for AR-15s, yes. Among other things, Bradley said, magazines are not serial numbered. They're not marked with a date of manufacture. They may not even be marked with a manufacturer's mark at all. So we could probably solve that by requiring all of those things. Well, that wouldn't be freedom. But the one truth that he points out is that they're not doing it over in New Hampshire. And this is one of those places where having 50 petty kingdoms bites you in the ass. Chicago has the gun problem that it has, not because of Chicago, but because of Talibandiana and Wisconsin and Southern Illinois. Or as we pronounced it when I was a little redneck growing up in Alabama, Illinois. And the gun humpers say that because everybody won't obey the law, there's no sense in having the law at all. You can subject that to your own logical processes and see how quickly that falls apart. So that's pretty much where we are with the filibobster for this evening. There's ever so much more to get into. Some of it I may have to get into in the Malloy program because, like I said, I don't like to have a lot of content overlap there. But we'll also, you know, the opportunity for some conversation. And you're welcome to jump right into it. You know the phone numbers, I trust, 304-574-8178 or toll-free 844-843-4676. That's 844-THE-HORN. And you can always reach the program Skype to Skype. And my contact is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaid Horn. And we'll see. We'll see what's on your mind as more details roll in of this latest outbreak of freedom. This time in San Bruno, California, the NRA's roulette wheel of maiming, massacre, murder, and mayhem stopped on San Bruno today. Yep. So let's see where the next hour takes us. And whether or not you want to engage in some conversation. It is, after all, Titanic Tuesday on the horn. And that means that we have manifestations of Titanic intellect to go through. Of course, we started with Titanic intellect, with none other than noted Titanic intellect, Dana Rohrabacher, the Kremlin's favorite congressman from California. So, anyway, let's see what's going on. We still have $380 to raise to finish fundraising today and knock down next Tuesday's fundraising as well so that all the bills can be paid before I leave for Washington, D.C. And this is one of those things that, there's just not a lot of people doing this work. Basically, the only people doing this work are... The team from the AIC campaign at Coal River Mountain Watch. So, one of the things is that this toxicity has escaped the ill-defined confines of Appalachia, and is moving into the rest of the country. And so there is a sense of urgency that attends it. I'm not asking, I want to be 100% clear, I'm not asking that y'all fund this trip. I'm not doing that. What I'm asking is that we get funding taken care of for the horn for this week and next so that I know for 100% certain when I get back, hopefully a week from Friday, there will be, I'll have the ability to do the program. Because, the internet will be on and the power will be on and there'll be, all the necessities that go into creating this. So that's what I'm talking about. And we've got $380 to go. And that's how we keep independent, liberal, progressive, current events, public events, broadcasting on the air. All right, break time. Let's see what's going to come of the rest of the program. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Tuesday, April. It's Tuesday, April 3, 2018.
There is no more beautiful sight than an American-made car.
Bad news for consumers. Trump's EPA to roll back fuel efficiency standards for cars. Department of Justice sues California for blocking sale of federally owned lands in California. Exxon's lawsuit to prevent states from investigating its climate change denial is thrown out of court. Plus,
listen, I don't know how you survive this one.
Environmental groups launch a campaign to boot Pruitt.
All of those campaigns and lawsuits straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We're going to work on the CAFE standards. So you can make cars in America again.
Wow, you couldn't make cars in America anymore? That'll be news to the auto industry, who just finished 7 record years of all-time high sales. Go figure. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, the U.S. auto industry has been, forgive the pun, firing on all pistons now for a whole bunch of years, right up until this year, 1 year after Donald Trump takes office.
Yeah, and now they want to roll back the fuel efficiency standards. As expected, the Trump administration's Environmental Protection Agency announced on Monday that it will begin the formal process of rolling back pollution and emission standards for new cars that were set under President Obama. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt called the Obama-era targets for vehicles starting in 2022, quote, wrong and not appropriate. U.S. automakers heavily lobbied for the change and reportedly intend to use the rollback to demand that other countries weaken their standards as well. The Obama standards had been the single biggest action ever taken by the U.S. federal government to curb carbon emissions. Big oil is the big winner, since weaker fuel efficiency standards will increase oil consumption. Weakening the targets will also increase carbon emissions, increase air pollution, and will ultimately cost American families money at the gas pump and in health impacts.
Money at the gas pump because they're going to be paying higher prices for gas than they would have had these standards been allowed to move forward.
As environmental journalist David Roberts of Vox.com noted in a recent broadcast, environmental deregulation amounts to a pollution tax on everyday Americans.
Getting rid of these regulations is an upward income redistribution. You're taking money out of the pockets of ordinary people in the form of health costs mm-hmm. and missed work and all the rest of it, and you're putting it in the pockets of industrialists.
Auto industry analysts warn that U.S. carmakers risk losing market share to Chinese and European manufacturers because the rest of the world is moving toward more fuel-efficient cars. Administrator Pruitt also threatened to revoke California's special authority under the Clean Air Act to set more stringent standards for vehicles sold in California. California and other states plan to sue the Trump administration to block the weakening of these standards.
Because they're arguing that California's more stringent standards can't stand because somehow that affects markets in the rest of the country?
Yes, they want a national standard, which will, of course, be a weaker standard.
So much for states' rights that Republicans pretend to care about.
Exactly. Also on Monday, the Trump Justice Department picked another legal fight with California, suing in federal court to overturn a state law that restricts the transfer of public lands to private buyers as the administration tries to open up more public lands to mining and drilling. The state law gives the California State Lands Commission the right of first refusal over any attempted sale or transfer of publicly owned federal lands that are located in California.
So much for states' rights that Republicans pretend to believe in.
Again, exactly. In politics, major environmental organizations like the Sierra Club and the Environmental Defense Fund have launched a coordinated campaign calling for EPA Chief Scott Pruitt to be fired. The Boot Pruitt campaign highlights Pruitt's deregulatory actions that endanger public health, but also his lavish first-class travel and large private security detail on the taxpayer's dime amid a brewing scandal over his sweetheart below-market rent arrangement for an apartment from the wife of a D.C. energy industry lobbyist. On Sunday's ABC This Week, former New Jersey Governor Republican Chris Christie criticized Pruitt's judgment.
The president's been ill-served by this, and if Mr. Pruitt's going to go, it's because he should have never been there in the first place.
Finally, some good news. A U.S. federal district judge has dismissed ExxonMobil's lawsuit attempting to block an investigation by the attorneys general of New York and Massachusetts into whether the oil giant covered up what it knew about climate change impacts and whether it lied about it to investors and the public. The judge dismissed Exxon's lawsuit with prejudice, meaning the company cannot bring it again.
The judge booted ExxonMobil's case.
Yes, she did.
And environmentalists are trying to boot Scott Pruitt.
Yes, they are.
That's a lot of boots. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Alrighty then, 14 minutes past the hour on this third day of April 2018. This is the Horn Titanic Tuesday. And a couple of notes coming in the interim there while the bumper in the Green News Report was running. I thought the little Lynyrd Skynyrd bumper was especially ironically appropriate. Bill in Allentown wants everybody to know that Brad Friedman's entire program starts at 8 p.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. Eastern between this program and Malloy's. So you've got that, you've got that going for you. Meanwhile, hearkening back to the conversation last night between Scott in San Diego and Punky, who was sending all of his remarks via mental telepathy through his medium, Scott. Gary, writing from New York, says, Scott mentioned James Buchanan on the show. Nancy McLean wrote a book, Democracy in Chains, and details his work with the Koch brothers in libertarian economics. Fascinating read. She details the move rightward in the university economics departments. He was from Tennessee and resented the Ivy elites. I highly recommend the book. Again, that book, Democracy in Chains. Thank you, Gary. Thank you very kindly. And then with the evening's obligatory Star Trek reference, and this one is a humdinger. I mean, this is cowbell worthy. Yes. Lee in New York City says, guns and Star Trek. Remember the Star Trek episode Spectre of the Gun? Kirk understood that guns are not the answer. From the script, Kirk, what materials were on hand in 1881 that could help us fight the Earps on their own terms? Mr. Scott, showing his gun, we have these, Captain. Kirk, no, the Melcots gave us those to execute us. Man, are those some terrible impressions. They really are, aren't they? The opposite of the Star Trek view, says Lee, the opposite of the Star Trek view of the future is the NRA. To them, guns are always the answer. Scotty, please beam me up. There is insufficient intelligent life on this planet. Well done, Lee. Well done indeed. And I do remember that episode. Marty, meanwhile, making sure that we keep everything in perspective. Stop telling us what's cowbell worthy, Bob. Hey, it's my freaking cowbell. I'll tell you, that this is where I draw the line in the sand, all right? Yes, okay, I mean, I take recommendations and stuff like that, but no. Well, maybe. I mean, okay, you know, I'm so liberal I won't take my own side in a fight. And thank you very kindly to Roberto. Roberto just jumped in to help out, make sure things stay up and running. Thank you, Roberto, very kindly. That means we now have only $350 to go fundraising for the evening. $350, 10 at 35, 35 at 10, etc. But we got $350 to go. And Roberto and Anatole are standing. They've jumped in during the live part of the program alongside the six subscribers that we have today, as well as Colin and Chris, who knocked down the challenge for last night, making sure that came through. Thank you, very much indeed. And don't try to get out of it. Marty says not enough snark in that last one. Oh, there was plenty of snark. Meanwhile, regarding the automobile issue as raised by Brad and Desi in the Green News Report, a note coming in from Ron in the somewhat thawing, wet, muddy, squishy north, you know, Canada. One suggestion regarding the item from the Green News Report, says Ron, rolling back the big three emissions regulations will probably give Honda, Toyota, Mazda, Lexus, Infiniti, Hyundai, and Kias a major sales boost. Better quality, better gas mileage, and long-term reliability should serve them well, especially if they manufacture vehicles in the U.S. Look, there's no... The auto manufacturers weren't even asking for this, okay? They weren't asking for the EPA to roll back the Obama. It's just that, well, those advanced gas mileage standards had a whole bunch of Negro all over them. I don't like talking like that. I don't like saying that. I hope I don't say it to be hurtful. But this is a racist regime, and if that one who occupied our White House for 8 long tormented years had anything to do with something, that something has to go. Goddamn birtherism, it wasn't about birthdays. It was about Kenya. I'm sure we have not forgotten the over-the-top manifest racism of the white wing in those 8 years. Have we? So that's why that was done. And as I explained, in part also because it's an attempt to punish California, because the world was following California and not the Trump regime. And everything has to be about them. Jesus, how long is it going to take for us to march Scott Pruitt off to freaking prison? Ugh. Did you catch the story where they were looking at, you know, because the political climate is so toxic for Scott Pruitt when he flies somewhere, because someone once said to him that he was trying to destroy the planet, and it gave Scott a sad. And so the EPA actually looked into leasing a private jet for poor Scott, to the tune of $100,000 per month. And then there were the raises that he was going to give to his nearest and dearest, and the White House refused to sign off on them, and he gave them anyway. But he's not worried right now. Oh, yes, he is. Because he got a vote of confidence from John Kelly and Donald Trump. Oh, we've got your back, Scott. That's the equivalent of being told by a Roman emperor, no, I've run a nice bath for you. It's very warm. Or maybe they do in this case, because he's a vandal. He's a looter. And he's doing a fantastic freaking job of gutting any idea that there will be any protecting going on at the EPA. You know, I ran across a story from late February that bears that bears remembering. At the insistence of Scott Pruitt, and this sort of goes hand in hand with the quashing of the review of mountaintop removal science. But at the insistence of Scott Pruitt and the Trump regime, they wiped out a grant program whose purpose was to study what happens to children who get exposed to environmental chemicals. It was called the National Center for Environmental Research. And they run something called the Science to Achieve Results program. And those are focused on what chemical exposures do to little kids. Well, the organization's being dissolved, and its employees are being scattered before the wind into various nooks and crannies of the EPA, never to be heard from again. Oh, let's see. What did the STAR program do? Well, among other things, it identified the link between prenatal exposure to flame retardants and IQ deficiencies in children. They sponsored research on air pollution. They looked into the impact of climate change on air quality. And there they are, the effects of nanoparticles. Just, well, more of the sort of stuff that has to go away if you're, apparently has to go away if you're going to make America great again. Man. So, yeah, don't be surprised. Look on the bright side, says Silent R. Lamar. Isn't it a good thing that Obama didn't create the sun? Yeah, we'd have to do something about that. Maybe we'd, I don't know, go ahead and nuke the planet and get some nuclear winter going. Indeed, indeed. Yeah, courtesy of Ron, a visual. I don't know how well it's going to translate to radio, but it's one of those Gary Larson cartoons of one buck looking at another buck in the woods. The one buck has a what appears to be a bullseye on him. And the first buck says, that's a bummer of a birthmark, Hal. Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see if Scott does, will he stay or will he go? Somebody cue up the Clash. We've got a very short time left in the program this evening. If you want to engage in some conversation about the issues of the day, you better get with it. It's 26 minutes past the hour. We got about 30 minutes or so left in the program. And again, it's hard to have meaningful conversation in, like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. This ain't the Limbaugh program, okay? What else do we have? We got a lot. This is just one of those happy accidents that occur as a result of the goddess of irony. I mentioned earlier that the censors at YouTube will have a purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy and kittens with crocheted tails at the mere thought of a nipple showing up anywhere in any video on YouTube. On the other hand, some pasty-faced, doughy white guy blazing away with his AR-15 Freedom Protector. That's okay. Well, proof, this isn't necessarily about YouTube, but it's proof of the bizarreness of our ongoing obsession, puritanical obsession with issues of human bodies, and in particular, the human female body. And more particularly, a portion of the human female body that, you know, actually doesn't serve a sexual purpose, but have in fact been sexualized over the course of eons, probably since we stopped crawling around the cave. The headline reads, Bikini Baristas Hit with Court Brief Demanding They Cover Up. It's a story out of the city of Everett, Washington, who is using its taxpayers' dollars to pursue an appeal all the way into the Ninth United States Circuit Court of Appeals over demon breastises. Yes. No, really. I guess everything's paid for at Everett. All the schools are well above average, and all the kids are scoring in the 95th percentile of the ACT and the SAT. All the potholes are fixed. The teachers are well paid. The public sector workers are all attended to, and their needs are met. There's no homeless problem in Everett, Washington. The infrastructure is the best in the land, and they just had a bunch of money laying around, and they said, hey, let's blow it on lawyers because we're worried about nipples. Oh, shit. The city of Everett, Washington, filed, as noted, before the Ninth United States Circuit Court of Appeals, an attempt to overturn a ruling by United States District Judge Marsha Pechman, P-E-C-H, Pechman perhaps, from last December, imposing a temporary ban on a city ordinance that specifically targeted coffee stands, fast food employees, and demanding demanding that they cover up their goddamn right. The Daily Herald says that in the 66-page brief, the city of Everett. Do you have any idea how much it costs to get a lawyer to write a 66-page brief? The mayor of Everett, Washington, should probably be impeached for this, or somehow removed from office through normal legal. I mean, this is Washington State, so maybe they got that whole referendum and recall thing out there. I don't know. But it costs a damn load of money to engage in appellate practice before the United States Circuit Court of Appeals, and then presumably this will go on. Look, if Everett's willing to take it to the Ninth, they're willing to take it to the Supremes. I mean, this is dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. Back in August, the city of Everett, Washington, adopted a dress code for employees at fast food restaurants, food trucks, and coffee stands, saying they had to at least wear tank tops and shorts. Why? Because in particular in the issue of little sort of coffee kiosks, there were women wearing bikinis, gasp, the horror, selling coffee to motorists driving through. Yes. Bikinis. I know. What will we tell the children? Jesus. And see, this is kind of the cool part of the story. The United States District Judge, Marsha Pechman, or Pechman, don't know, ruled against the city of Everett when Everett was sued for their stupid ordinance. And she said in her December ruling that this dress code is violative of the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause in the Constitution of the United States, because it specifically targets members of one gender. Because, well, there aren't any guys wearing two-piece bikinis. Because most of, well, let's put it this way, if there's a guy out there who could use a two-piece bikini, you probably wouldn't hire him to sell coffee at a drive-through kiosk. It's the same dynamic as seems always to be at work in the United States, that between the commercialization of sexuality versus the puritanical morals of uptight government people who are afraid Jesus will get sad if a nipple busts loose. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting. It's an equal protection issue. One of these days, and again, maybe we're off in that far-flung Star Trek future, one of these days we might actually have a judge rule that women's breasts are not sexual organs, that they actually serve an evolutionary function for the feeding of children, and that anybody who's worried about being traumatized by the sight of a nipple is probably really deeply, weirdly sexually hung up and probably needs to, like, get laid or something. Because, honest to God, I read the whole story. And there's nothing in it about the good, God-fearing citizens of Everett, Washington, clamoring for somebody to do something about the nipples. No. Merely a complaint from city government that many workers, and by workers they mean women, but they can't say that because that kind of makes the district judge's argument for her. Many workers take skimpy dressing to the extreme, wearing little more than pasties and G-strings. Really? Little more than pasties and G-strings? Nipple hats and little tiny underwear? Oh my God! But once again, the dichotomy is both clear and ludicrous. And this goes all the way back to the Janet Jackson costume malfunction and the great chocolate nipple of doom from the Super Bowl of years back. On the other hand, if the coffee was being served by a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, with an 8-inch barreled 44 Magnum hog leg strapped to his hip, well, they probably wouldn't have a problem with that in Everett, Washington, because freedom. And that'd mean it was some freedom coffee you was getting from that there barista. Lee was thinking along the same lines I was. If the baristas were told to pack a gun justified as a workplace safety or Second Amendment support, there would not be a lawsuit. The female body is too dangerous for the public to handle. well, at least for the Republicans, and frankly, no one needs to be handling them unless the females have said want them handled. I can only guess that many women are unwilling to show their bodies to people who deny them rights, such as being able to have the option of an abortion. By the way, in New York City, it is not illegal for women to be topless in public. God bless you, New York. God bless you. On a strictly sexist basis, proving that I'm absolutely a troglodyte. God bless you. No, actually, no. It's... I mean, I joke, but in all seriousness, really, in the waning years of the second decade of the 21st century, we're still there. We're wanting, you know. I mean, as a guy, granted, as a white guy who can get a freaking blistering sunburn under the refrigerator light bulb. Yeah, I got to be careful out in the sun. But once in a while, as a guy, it's nice just to, you know, take my shirt off and feel the warmth of the sun, especially after, you know, the hateful freezing cold of winter. Just feel the warmth of the sun on as much of my hide as I can get it on. My lovely wife can't do that. Now, if my neighbor decides to squeeze off fire a few rounds of ammunition through his freedom protector, and many of you have listened to this program. When exactly that was going on, and we've actually got a statute in this state that says you cannot fire a weapon within 500 feet of a dwelling, and that weapons fire was taking place less than 500 feet away from this dwelling, the fabulous Kincaid Mansion. If I had picked up the phone and called the local constabulary, they would, "Oh, hail! It's West Virginia. What are you worried about? He's just planking." On the other hand, if my lovely wife walked out into, and I'm not trying to embarrass her or anything. No, it's just a hypothetical. But if my lovely wife walked out into the warm sunshine in order to feel as much sunshine as possible upon her lovely and delicate skin. With no covering for her breasts, there would be a riot and probably four cruisers in my driveway inside of 15 minutes. "Ma'am, you're going to have to cover up them things. They're dangerous. Do you realize that?" Because everybody and their cousin would pick up the, there's a woman what ain't got no bra on over there in the Kincaid yard. Now, does that strike you as being absurd to the point of like making Sartre blush? Because it does me. Clarence, writing from I presume still North Philly, says, "That's a strange request in Everett. Bob, the city has a large Navy base." Well, maybe that's it. Maybe they're afraid that that all of those sailors are going to riot when they go for coffee and they see a woman in a bikini, a real live, honest to goodness in the flesh right there in front of them. Whoa, man! And they'll just lose all control. This is, of course, the same attitude that prevails in places like Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan, where it is the woman's fault for being shaped as she is. And no man can be expected to be responsible for his own actions, and must therefore put beekeeper suits on the women, because the poor men just can't help themselves and have been known to completely lose their minds at the mere sight of a quarter of an inch of unshaven ankle. Just kind of file Everett Washington away for the next time somebody talks about them goddamn Muslims over there abusing women. Yeah, meanwhile, Scott in San Diego. Subject line, skimpy dressing. Gypsy Rose Lee's Thanksgiving turkey was known for its skimpy dressing. Boom, chuck-a-boom, chuck-a-boom, ba-dum-bum. He'll be here all week. Don't try the veal. Thanks, Rick. Different Rick, not billable Rick. Yeah, I noticed. I screwed up the dating last night on the White Rose Society file, but it has since been corrected, or should have been. I was in a hurry because I was doing the whole reboot retool thing between 8 and 9 p.m. The White Rose Society download link for last night's show links to the file from 3/30/2018, not the episode from Monday. Yeah, that. But it's fixed. I caught it. It should be fixed. And then this, and I guess we'll close the program on this issue since Elbert has raised it. By the way, we've still got $350 in fundraising to go for the evening. That's a long way to go in 15 minutes. Or, technically speaking, 22 hours. So, maybe we'll knock it down between now and 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. No, Elbert says, I heard that Trump wants to send army soldiers to guard the border with Mexico. It reminded me of something that happened several years ago. The Texas government wanted to put up a fence along the Texas-Mexico border. A map of the proposed fence route was sent to the press. Several groups filed lawsuits against it. One of them was angry that the fence would cut through their private golf course. And you know what? Some of those lawsuits, I don't know if you know this or not, Elbert, some of those lawsuits are still going on. This dumbass idiotic wall is not going to happen. And the people who would have the wall built through their backyards and through their golf courses and their gated communities down there in Texas, they're Republicans. They're not some bunch of sissy, lily-livered Democrats. They're Republicans, and they're pissed. I will sue the toupee right off of Donald J. Trump. Want to put a fence on top of the green on number 11? Son of a bitch. Yeah, they mean it. They're serious. But yeah. Mexico still says they're not going to pay for the wall. And you may recall last week that that Geezer Disgustus said, maybe we'll use the Pentagon budget to build the wall. And that went over like a turd in a punch bowl. So today, what do you get? We get a tweet. We always get a tweet. There's always a tweet. Saying that I've already talked to General James Mattis and we're thinking about using the military to protect our criminally porous borders. See, the two-legged turds over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda have this poor old septuagenarian halfway out of his wits. Well, the rest of the half, maybe. The other half. Just like they terrify Emery and Marveline in their Barca loungers, and they've been talking for the next for the last several days about a caravan of illegals making its way through Mexico and headed for Merca. A note coming from Alexander. Alexander says, I just tuned into the program. I don't understand why some people are so problematic with women's breasts. I just love them. You know, you can have the freedom to possess a gun, and that's a problem, but be a woman who's naturally endowed with breasts? Oh, problem! Something seriously wrong with their Christian conservatives. F them all. Well, you can have them. I don't want them. They're too hateful for me, to paraphrase the old song. Thanks, Alexander. But there are a lot of issues that attend this. Really? Send the United States military to what? To dig trenches along the U.S. border with Mexico and what? Set up machine gun nests and tanks and mortars and. But no, there's a group called Pueblos Sin Fronteras. My Spanish is notably horrible, but it means people without borders. And there are said to be some 1,200 people who are fleeing from, for all their worth, from the horrifying degrees of violence that are extant in countries where, you know, the United States has helped to create the circumstances under which that violence arose. And they've gathered together, and maybe there's about 1,200 of them, but it's a caravan of Mexicans, a caravan of illegals. It's definitely a caravan of illegal aliens trying to get through our poorest borders, and we need the military. So he's talking about spending a blue bajillion dollars. I mean, I presume the military is going to stay on our side of the border, because if they go over the border, we're going to have a problem. The United States makes a lot of jokes about Mexico, but Mexico is a goddamn sovereign nation for whom I have tremendous respect, and who are rather jealous about their border with us as well as ours with them. Because the United States has manifested historically from time to time over the years a desire to sort of own the place. Right? And it's, you know, it's cause for concern. But then there's that whole posse comitatus thing that says that, and of course, this was back when we were giving up on Reconstruction and giving up on making good the promises of freedom in the aftermath of the Civil War. The Congress passed the Posse Comitatus Act that says you cannot use the United States military for law enforcement purposes inside the territorial boundaries of the United States. And that includes the United States-Mexican border. Now, if the president wants to federalize the National Guard, that's another issue. Or if, say, the governors of Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California want to call out the National Guard and pay the small fortune required to mobilize them on the border, they could do that. In theory, they could do that too. But he can't just send the Army and the Marines and, you know, I don't know, zombie General Blackjack Pershing down there to chase zombie Pancho Villa around northern Mexico 100 years later. Flavio lets me know Mexico has already deported 400 from the caravan. The others are being reviewed for asylum claims. Last year, Mexico accepted some 10,000 refugees and as many the year before. But again, Fox isn't reporting that. That means that the Tangerine Tiberius isn't hearing that, and he is filling his shorts every day just thinking about all the Mexicans who are coming up to get him. And it is terrifying. So what happens if he tries to deploy the army and the... Okay, I guess you could have the Air Force doing some flyovers. Not a lot of Navy activity here unless you want to reinstitute the Brown Water Navy and... It's the United States Army, and the United States Army is particularly, it was the Army that the Posse Comitatus Act was pointed at in the first place. Saying, no, you can't do this. There are exceptions. We got exceptions to it during the Reign of Error under Dim Leader. No. This and just, you know, just the logistics of it. And what do you do with them? I mean, realistically, I can't believe that Mad Dog Mattis is sitting there going, "Yes, sir, that sounds like a lovely idea. Don't fire me, sir." I'm all alone here now, and I'd like to not be fired. And... He's doing anything he possibly can to try to arm-twist his way into getting his... You know, he wants a wall because he wants his name on the wall, and he wants it to be the Great Wall of Trump. Because he's this jiggling mass of insecurities. And he knows that the minute that he breathes out and doesn't breathe in again, that he will be forgotten. Not even a paragraph in the history books. It'll be harder to remember what he did than what, oh, I don't know, Franklin Pierce or Chester A. Arthur did as President of the United States. He wants that wall as a matter of legacy, and he's willing to march into hell for a dumbass cause to have it. But let's say he does put some American troops on the border. What do we do when one of them opens up on a woman who's 7 months pregnant, and her 8-year-old, and her 4-year-old. What do we do? Moreover, if it's a violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, and if there's a viable argument to be made in that regard, what happens to a soldier who refuses an illegal order to participate in a violation of the Posse Comitatus Act? Oh, can't you imagine the tweet storm that poor young man or woman would get? Wow. All right, so it's time for me to shut down here and reboot everything to be ready to sub for Malloy here in about an hour. Again, a reminder, if you're going to listen, please don't listen on the headon.live or the White Rose streams or the Horn tune in or Stitcher or any of that stuff. Don't do that. Please listen over at Progressive Voices. Okay?
It's easy. There's an app. You can find them on TuneIn. Bang, it's right there. Thanks to everybody who keeps this program on the air. Thank you to our subscribers mentioned at the top of the program. And thank you to Anatole, and thank you very kindly to Roberto during the program. Hopefully you'll get some more company between now and tomorrow evening. We closed the program with $350 to go in fundraising. Even if it was only our regular evening's $200, we'd still be $150 in the hole. But as it is, it's $350. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in the program. I can never thank you enough for sharing that with me and with the rest of us. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly to Sparky in the chat room. And thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox working on HeadOnRadioNetwork.com rebuilding. Thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa for HeadOn.live. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Chyna, it's all for you. Later, y'all.